we move to the finish line, when we decide to stop postponing and determine to complete what we started. Some of us are major procrastinators.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Pastor Mark, you know, the other day I noticed there were scratch marks on my van. I'm not going to say if it was me or my wife, but there was some paint there, and I decided I needed to do something about it, so I researched how to get it off. I went to the store. I bought the stuff. I bought the rags. I put it in the car. My wife said, "Why do you have to do this now?" I said, "I got to do it now or I'll never get it done." And, well, that was 3 weeks ago, and the paint is still there, and the material is in the back of my car, and the reality is that I didn't finish what I started.
Come on, now you're talking to all of us here.
And I think there may be things like that in our life that God's called us to, and yep. You address that in this message today, don't you?
Yeah, this message is called "It's Not Over Yet." And Joshua, all of us can relate to that, and a car is an issue. Scratches on our car are one issue. But what God is doing in your life concerning your calling, your gifting, your priorities is a big issue. What I've discovered, Josh, is so many times we don't finish what God has called us to start.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. And we don't see the repercussions, the final product of that, because we get distracted, discouraged, and we give up. And I believe that God is the God that helps us to persevere. And sometimes it's God himself slowing us down. And I believe that sometimes God frustrates your prosperity on purpose to get you to realign your priorities. Hmm. And so I'm talking to someone here today that you set on a journey to do something, but you haven't finished it. And I believe that God wants to speak to you through this message about finishing what you started.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. There is something that can happen as you listen in faith to the Word of God today, friends. We're going to go to Haggai chapter 1 for the first half of this message. It's called "It's Not Over Yet."
The easiest way to find it is to go to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and go three books back into the Old Testament, and you'll find the book of Haggai, a very, very small book, two chapters. But yet it has a powerful, powerful message. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open, that our spirits would hear you, that you would be with us, empower us in a special way, God. Come, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts in a fresh new way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A quarry was his name. He had been chosen by Tanzania to compete in the Mexico Olympics that were, I believe, in 1968. He considered it a great privilege that he was able to run representing his country. This would be a brutal run, 26 miles in some high altitude where the oxygen kind of is a little thin. But Atwari was up for the task with pride. He circled around at the beginning of the Olympics carrying his Tanzania flag, hoping that he would do the best as they ran this brutal, brutal course. The gun shot, he took off with many other athletes running this marathon of 26 miles. He was doing pretty well until mile 12. At mile 12, some of the runners started jostling a little bit, moving, pushing each other, and Atwari fell. It was a bad fall. He messed up his knee. He skinned his leg. He dislocated his shoulder. Many thought that he was out of the race, but when Atwari got up, he started to limp and run again, but he was running very slow. The doctors on the sideline said, "Hey, just quit the race. You're injured. You don't have to finish." But to their amazement and surprise, Atwari kept running. He had 12 miles yet to go, or 14 miles yet to go, and he kept running. Half running, half limping, half walking. All of the other marathon runners completed the race. They marched, they ran into the stadium at the applause of thousands and thousands of people that applauded them. Atwari was an hour later. By that time, the stadium had cleared out only for a couple thousand people. Dusk was falling. It was getting dark already. The crowd had dispersed for the most part. And then suddenly someone said, "Hey, look at him." And there he was. Atwari entered into the stadium, limping, walking, trying to run. The crowd got up, looked at him, this injured athlete, as he made one last round around the stadium and passed right through the finish line. He was the last, by far, of 57 marathon athletes that finished the race. When the reporter was able to talk to Atwari, he put a microphone in his face and he said, "Atwari, why didn't you quit? I mean, you were way, way, way late. Why didn't you just give up? Atwari said, "My country did not send me 10,000 miles just to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." Every person in this auditorium is in a race. We in the church are in a race. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. We may have sprints within the marathon, but it's a long-term race. And there's some of you that are in a season that you're racing, that some of you have gotten to a place that's difficult, that's hard, and you've just quit. You stop trying. You stop running. You sit down on the side. You say, "It's just too hard." Oh, you're still alive. You're still breathing, but you're not running. You're not racing. There's no vision of the future. There's no vision for the finish line. You've just set out. And I believe that God has called me here today because I believe that God has called me to stir some of you up to finish what God has started. Yeah, because I believe this, that some of you are in a race that even though you may have set out, God wants you to know it's not over yet. Tap the person beside you and say, "It's not over yet." Tap the person on the other side. Hey, I think some of you are going to speak this prophetically into someone's life. Look at the person beside you in the eye and say, "It's not over yet." How many of you needed to hear someone tell you that today? How many of you needed to hear someone tell you, "Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet." And as I was praying for this service today, I was drawn to Haggai, this little book in the Old Testament, because the message that the prophet was delivering to the people that he was speaking to is exactly that message. It's not over yet. And I want to tell you a little bit about this message. And I want us to understand and learn from Haggai three vital principles that we need to learn and grasp and understand if we are going to finish what we've started. If you're jotting notes today, I want you to write this down. I believe that we move to the finish line when we decide to stop postponing and determine to complete what we started. Some of us are major procrastinators. Mañana, mañana. Later, later. Hey, can you take out the garbage? Yeah, later. Hey, can you take the car for an oil change? I'm getting to it. Later. Can you do your homework later? Later. It's easy to procrastinate in little things, but it's a major problem when we start procrastinating in our God-given destiny. And so I want you to know what was happening with the people of Israel when Haggai came up to them and said, "Stop procrastinating." So what had happened was that in the year 586 BC, so 586 years before Christ was born, long time ago, 2,500 years ago, the people of Israel had been called by God a set-aside nation. They had built Jerusalem. They had built the temple. Solomon had built a magnificent temple in the center of town that had become the place of worship. If you turn on the television and they're talking about the Middle East, there's a wall that remains from Solomon's temple in Jerusalem that's called the Wailing Wall. I've been there. Jewish people still believe that that's the closest gate to heaven, and they take little prayers and they put it in the wall, and you'll see people going back and forth and praying at that wall because it's the original from Solomon's wall. Well, because the people of Israel did not follow God and turned to other idols and turned their back on God and drifted away from God, God decided that he would let Israel be devastated by their enemy. So the Babylonians came and they conquered Jerusalem. They conquered Israel. They ransacked the city. They tore down the walls. They burned the houses. And they took all of the gold from the temple, all of the holy artifacts, and they destroyed the temple brick after brick, knocked it down so it was left in ruins. And they were taken as slaves back to Babylon. You remember the story of Daniel, who was one of the young leaders that was taken as a slave. They were there for 70 years. Jerusalem was in ruins. The people of Israel were devastated. Now, sometimes what happens when we turn our back on God, sometimes what happens when we start going our own way, is God has to lead us through a season of devastation in order to take us back to a season of restoration. Some of you are here today because you had to have some devastation in your life that woke you up and have brought you to a place of restoration. And so God woke the people of Israel back and said, I will send you back to rebuild Jerusalem. God wasn't done with their story. And so after 70 years, there was a group of people, 50,000 Jews, that were allowed to return to the devastated city of Jerusalem. The walls were down. The city was in ruin. It was just a devastating, desolate city. But 50,000 came back to say, we will rebuild this city. We have a vision of what Jerusalem can be again.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, It's Not Over Yet. It's from our brand new series called Fully Devoted. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Haggai chapter 1. And Pastor Mark's message, It's Not Over Yet.
We have a dream that this city can be rebuilt, and this will be a place of peace and a place where God reigns. The temple will be rebuilt. We will worship again like we used to worship. Their children will dance in the streets and laugh and play like they used to. We will follow God, and as we follow God, we will rebuild this city. They had gone back to do so, but something happened. You know, when God gives us a big task, it's not always easy. Amen. When God gives us a big vision, it gets interrupted by opposition, by criticism, Amen. By obstacles, by discouragement. And here's what I've discovered, that there's two twins that tend to derail us. Discouragement and distraction. Yep. When we become discouraged and distracted, we typically stop doing what God has called us to do, and we start putting our energies into other things, because discouragement and distraction work hand in hand to take us away from the destiny that God has called us to. Some of you right now are not finishing what God called you to do because you've been discouraged and distracted. You got discouraged because someone hurt you. You got discouraged because it was too long. You got discouraged because it felt like it wasn't making progress. And when you got discouraged, you started looking around. And when you got discouraged, you started getting distracted. And you figured, if I can't win at this, I'll win at something else. And so you've thrown yourself into something else. And the very call that God has on your life, the very destiny that God has had you for, you have abandoned it because of discouragement and distraction. I believe that God has called me to wake some of you up today. To get you out of discouragement and distraction, to say, hey, you're sidetracked. God is not done with you yet. Don't bail out of the marathon. It's not over yet. You're still in the race. Get off the bench. Get off the sideline. Get into the game that God has called you to, because you are wasting a lot of your precious energy, time, faith, gifting, talents, when you live in the world of discouragement and distraction. So Haggai was raised as a prophet. Thank God for the prophets in our life. How about it? Oh, we may not call them prophets, but sometimes God brings friends with a prophetic voice. Yes. Yes. A prophecy is a word. It's God's word at his moment and his time given by God. And I believe that there's friends in our life sometimes that come with a prophetic voice. There's people around us that sometimes God, because we're not listening to God himself, we're not reading his word, we're not calling upon God, sometimes God will have to raise a friend that speaks prophetically into our life, challenging us. God raised the prophet Haggai. And Haggai came to the people of Israel. They had started to build the temple. They had laid a foundation. They had built the altar, so they were still having services there. But because of the opposition of a group called the Samaritans, they had left. They got discouraged. And then they got distracted. You know what they got distracted with? They got distracted with good stuff, but not God stuff. They got distracted because God had told them, build up the temple. But because they got discouraged, it took a lot of work. There was opposition. They got discouraged, and so they started rebuilding the city. They got discouraged with their stuff. They started building up their houses, building their yards, finishing their roofs, paneling the inside, doing their floors, improving their homes. They kept saying, yeah, we'll get back to the temple. Yeah, we're going to finish it. Yeah, we're going to get back to it. It's just not the right time yet. It's not the proper season. You know that you can get distracted with good things from the God things. They're not bad. They're not evil. They're good, but they're not the God things. And so 14 years later, they still had not done what God had called them to do, rebuild the temple. 14 years later, the temple was still in ruins. 14 years later, the walls hadn't been built. 14 years later, they were still procrastinating. They kind of got used to the way it was. You know, you live so long in a certain way, you start getting used to something that is not the best. You live long enough in a certain way and you start getting used to substandard living. You live with something long enough and you start forgetting that it's a problem. You live with abuse long enough and you think that abuse is normal. It's the standard. It's the way life is. It's been that way for a long time. It'll probably never change. And you just accept verbal abuse, physical abuse, and you believe that that's just the way it is if you live with it long enough. You live in a house full of strife and chaos and criticism and doubt and anger. You live that way long enough and you just start to assume that's the way it'll always be. That's the way it's always been. I expect it, anticipate it, believe it. You live in poverty, indebtedness, where you can barely pay your bills and you always have creditors calling you up and you just believe that that's the way life is. It's always barely surviving, barely living. It's always one paycheck to another. It's moving apartness while creditors chase after you and follow after you. It's just the lifestyle that you've become used to. You live there. You accept it. You make it your culture. You think it's normal, because when you procrastinate on something long enough, you start getting used to a culture of procrastination, even though it's not what God has called you to. So God sent Haggai to wake them up. And in verse 2, he says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. It's not the right time. It's not the right time. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, and he says to the people, it is a time for you. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? What Haggai was telling them is God called you to rebuild the temple, but you got discouraged and you got distracted with your own things. And so now that which should have been a priority is no longer a priority in your life. And you have switched priorities. You've forgotten to put first things first. You know, the greatest challenge that we have as Christians, as believers, is not necessarily that we go after evil things. It's that we switch our priorities, and so that God is no longer at the center, number one, top priority. He's a part of our life, but not the center of our life. We've added him to our life like we add the gym, a therapist, an accountant, and our favorite TV program. If we have time for it, we love to come and watch it. But at the center of our life is something else. Jesus said to his disciples, seek ye, say it all together, seek ye what?
First,
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else shall be added to you. But you got to put first things first. They had been postponing and postponing and making excuses of why it wasn't happening, why they weren't rebuilding the temple. Benjamin Franklin wrote, I've never known a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else. Hello. Some of you have met some of those. I believe that what happens sometimes is when God speaks to us about doing something, speaks to us about moving in an area, that when we don't move forward in an area, that when we don't do what God has called us to do, then we will experience the ripple effects of procrastination and delay in our lives. And some of us, when we don't obey immediately and say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, but not now. I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, but not now. Then eventually we start living in a state where we experience the circumstances or the repercussions of our postponement. They had begun to live in a Jerusalem where the center of worship was no longer strong. I had a grandfather who was a good man, went to church, read his Bible, prayed. He was a good man. A good man. He was a foreman at the steel mills in northern Indiana. Kind of a tough guy, but a man that went to church. He had a habit, though, that he had picked up when he was young, and he swore up and down that he could not break that habit. He had the habit of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. He would get up in the middle of the night because his body craved nicotine, and he'd have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd go to the porch, he'd smoke his cigarette, and then he'd go back to bed. When I was a teenager, he would say, hey, boys. I would say, Grandpa, why do you smoke? It's not good for your health, boys. I know, I'm going to quit. It's just hard. You don't understand, but I'm working on it. I'm going to quit. You guys better not take up this habit. And for years he said he was going to quit, but he kept postponing. One day it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Until one day he had a cough. Went to the doctor to check out to see if it was bronchitis. The doctor took an x-ray of his lungs and he said, Mr. Job, you have a spot on your lung. And we think that it's cancer. Something happened immediately. The man that kept postponing smoking, kept saying it was too hard. He would one day. Suddenly, out of nowhere, there was this incredible, massive willpower to quit smoking. The doctor said to Mr. Job, if you could continue to smoke, you may die. From that day on, he never touched a cigarette again.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called It's Not Over Yet, which is from our series called Fully Devoted. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark, and if you would like a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find over 200 messages from Pastor Mark and a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. Before you go, we invite you to visit us at our Midway location where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line at the Pulaski stop. Join us at 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. Thank you so much for listening, and on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the entire Straight Talk team, have a great evening. God bless.